Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Juno says five large cruise ships and 16,000 passengers a day is their limit. And Dolly Parton's story and music is coming to Broadway. Those stories and more next in the travel news.
You filed a complaint with a travel company, and after some back and forth, they agreed to a settlement, but only if you sign a non-disclosure agreement. What is that, and should you be signing it? The answer in our Smarter Travelers segment at 11:25.
It's been a while since we heard from Steve LaRosa. He joins us at 11:35 to take us on a trip up the coast from Monterey. It's a great area for a quick summer getaway.
And finally, at 11:50, we dig into the mailbag to answer your travel questions.
Welcome to the weekend and the latest edition of The Travel Guys.
Hello, everyone. Welcome again to another edition of The Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And with fair disclosure, we are on, we're not on
we're
tape.
We're not actually here.
No, we're not here. I always say
you can hear us,
yes,
but we're not actually here.
No, we're not here, but we're not on tape. We always say, oh, we're on tape.
Yeah, that's kind of old, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody tapes anything. We are now on digital.
Oh, I see. So this is actually in the cloud somewhere.
Yes. It's a cloud
show.
Well,
not in this city because there are no clouds. Of course, how would I know that since we taped this on Friday and the show runs on Saturday? Yeah. If you're confused at this point and looking for another radio station.
Don't do that.
Don't, because yeah. it goes downhill from here and it's a lot of fun.
All right. Mark, tell our listeners why we pre-recorded for today, Saturday's show.
We pre-recorded today because one of your hosts is the proud owner of Sports Leisure Vacations, a local tour company, and twice a year we have a tour preview day. And we are doing that in conjunction with our friends at the KVIE studios today over on West El Camino Avenue. So as you hear the beginning of the Travel Guys show, a couple hundred people have already visited us, and a couple hundred people more are finding out about some of the products that Sports Leisure Vacations offers. If you are a mature traveler and interested in that, you can go to sportsleisure.com. And there is a link there, and all of the trips that we have, the new trips we're announcing this weekend, will not be posted there for a couple of days, because that's why folks are coming out to KVIE to get the jump. And on Monday, our place will be, I hope, a zoo. So thanks to all the folks who support us and by coming out to our events and buying tours from Sports Leisure Vacations.
You know, I have to kind of explain something, or you can help me explain it. Earlier, we had a tour catalog preview day where mm-hmm. you introduced your annual catalog, and it's just chock full of trips all year long. And now you're having a tour preview day. Mm-hmm. How are these different? Did you run out of trips? Did you find some more?
Tom, airlines only release airfares 11 months in advance.
Uh-huh.
And Southwest doesn't go that far in advance. They used to be like 5-6 months. Now they're up to 9 or 10. So if I'm trying to sell you a product that's a year away from now in an annual catalog, it's hard for me to price it because the airline won't be able to give me an airfare. A bus company might not be able to quote me the cost of a motor coach transportation. A hotel will generally have their rates out a year or so ahead of time, but not always. So we try to announce our products 6, 8, 10 months in advance. So that means that you have to have twice a year, you have to roll out new product as opposed to just once a year.
I see. Okay. Well, you know, I'm a little slow.
No. That actually was a good question, because we have about 6,000 Sports Leisure travelers in the greater Sacramento area, and only about 400 of them are going to visit us today. So I would like to think that the other 5,600 are listening on the radio right now. Probably not all of them, but one or two of them maybe anyway.
All right. Well, at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we may take time out to bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. And with today's travel news, as always, here's Mark Hoffman.
I got a big stack of stuff here, so I have to go. I got to put on my lickety-split voice here and go quickly. Gas prices have been dropping. Have you noticed that,
Tom? I have.
Yeah, about every third night when I drive home, it seems like gas is 10 cents a gallon cheaper. It has dropped. The national average is $3.48 a gallon. We live in California, so the national average is always about a dollar more in California because we take better care of the air here in California, and we have taxes that other states do not have. But anyway, AAA is reporting that lower gas demand than anticipated and higher total domestic gas supply are leading to falling prices at the pump, and they expect that to continue for most of the summer.
Okay. All right.
Okay. All right. Let's see here. American Airlines flight attendants have said no to an immediate 17% pay raise, and they are asking the National Mediation Board to trigger a 30-day cooling off period so that they can go on strike, which would make the strike probably sometime in early July, first part of July.
They're turning down 17% raise.
17%. Yeah, well.
How long has it been since their last raise?
Aha, there you go. Excellent question. 5 years.
Ooh, well, nice.
So
understand.
Divide 17 by 5, and I think that comes out to something around 3.4%. Mm-hmm. I believe the pilots at the airline got a rather large increase just recently. In fact, the pilots at just about every airline have gotten a rather large increase lately. I'm not suggesting that a flight attendant has the same skill set as a pilot when it comes to duties on board an aircraft, but I do think the flight attendants are not going to take pennies on the dollar, so the airlines are going to have to pay them more money. And boy, it would be bad news to have a strike in the middle of the summer for sure. So I look for American Airlines to come around. Almost, we haven't seen any other carriers go on strike over the pilots, the flight attendants, the ramp workers, etc. So I figure they'll work it out. Knott's Berry Farm has announced that June 27th is the opening of Camp Snoopy. So if you're headed down to the Disneyland area with the family, Camp sure. Snoopy is opening on the 27th of June. You're a Disneyland guy.
Oh, yeah. But we used to always take a day. Shoot over to Knott's Berry Farm because they're right next to each other. It's a short drive, yep. And especially if you have young kids, they've always been the home of Peanuts and Snoopy mm-hmm. and all of that. That's kind of their brand, and I'm glad to see that still going on. It's a cool little place.
Juno and Cruise Lines have agreed to limiting daily passenger counts in Juno. Juno's not a real large city, even though it's the capital city of Alaska. They have agreed to cap daily cruise passengers at 16,000, 6 days a week, 12,000 on Saturdays, 5 large cruise ships. If you've ever been to a small Alaskan city when several cruise ships are in town, they take over everything. And while they do mean a lot to the local economy, they bring a lot of dollars into town, it's a short season, it's hard if you're not, and even if you are a cruise ship passenger, it's hard to get anything, to get any tour products or to get in any attractions or anything like that if you've got 12,000, 16,000 visitors in a city the size of Juneau. So I get it. The people there are concerned about quality of life, and not everybody makes money off of the tourists. The New York University International Hospitality Industry Conference last week says that they expect the rosy outlook for travel to continue into the next decade and beyond, agreeing that people have reordered travel after the COVID outbreak, and that travel is much higher on people's lists of entertaining and important things to do in life than it was before. Speaking of New York City, Dolly Parton is going to have a bio musical, a biography that will also be a musical. It will be called Hello, I'm Dolly.
Mm-hmm.
So not Hello, Dolly, but right. Hello, I'm Dolly.
That's great.
It's supposed to premiere on Broadway in 2026. It's going to talk about her life, some of her greatest hits, and some original new music that she's writing for it. I will make a prediction. If the show sucks, everybody will still go and see it. She might be the most popular person in the entire entertainment industry. First of all, I'm sure it'll be a great show because it's going to have her music in it. So I can't imagine that there would be anything wrong with it. But I'm going to guess that's going to be the you check me out and see when we get down the road here 2 years. But I'm guessing that'll be the hottest ticket on Broadway for more than just a week.
There you go.
Maybe,
I agree.
Yep. United Airlines CEO Scott Kirby last week took some jabs at ultra-low-cost carriers, saying they are fundamentally flawed. He says that their business model of charging up for everything Once the full-fledged carriers caught on to it and started offering fares in the same category, and looky here, Luke, last week Spirit Airlines announced that they were dropping change fees in order to try to be a little bit more friendly. Folks say there may be some other changes coming at Spirit Airlines because these guys who only serve destinations once a day, 2 or 3 days a week, are having and are charging people for everything except going to the restroom, are having trouble finding passengers as the demand starts to slack off just a little bit. I wouldn't consider flying Frontier or Spirit unless it was the only way to get there. And then I'd have to think about whether or not I wanted a hotel and I'd go the next day. So I can see their business model is not, it's to me, is not a winner. It's based on nickel and diming people for everything. I will just briefly mention here, Frontier's got a couple new flights out of Sacramento. They're going to fly to Dallas starting this month and flying nonstop to Orlando starting next month out of Sacramento. So maybe they can find a product that people in Sacramento are willing to pay for, sit in very tight seats, and be nickeled and dimed for everything along the way. Not my style. There's a map showing the future of high-speed rail projects along the West Coast. You know, we've been kind of wallowing in one here in Central California for a while, but Washington and Oregon State have received multiple grants from the Department of Transportation, and they are working on trains that will, on routing and on purchasing land to run trains from Seattle all the way down to Eugene, Oregon, which would certainly give folks an extra way to get around. Hilton Honors has entered into an intriguing partnership with AutoCamp. So you can go out and stay in a Windstream trailer, you know, not an old junky one, mm-hmm. but a nice new one that's been all fixed up. Hilton is taking on a new partner in the company AutoCamp. Additional 400,000 tourists will probably visit Los Angeles this year from Japan. Why would that be?
Because the Olympics aren't there?
Because Shohei Ohtani is in Los Angeles now. Oh. And tourism officials in Anaheim estimate that approximately 400,000 people a year came to the Anaheim area to see him. So now that he's just down the road. And a survey of North Americans has shown that younger travelers are less into loyalty programs. This is probably not mm-hmm. what the airlines want to hear. Anyway, younger folks not as interested in loyalty programs. They're looking for good service and low prices. Imagine that. And that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Don't forget, check us out at TravelGuysRadio.com. Well, you know, we just finished up Mother's Day just a few weeks ago. And, of course, that always means that Father's Day is always close by. So not too long from now, a great thing to do for your dad, especially this dad, is to take him to Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House for a Father's Day dinner. They're going to have a spectacular food available for you. You might want to go ahead and get that reservation ahead of time. If you got a big family, they'll take reservations up to as many as 16 people. And it is somewhat limited, so make that reservation early. Also, they still got that $100 gift card that you could buy for Dad. And they'll give you a $20 gift card to go with it. You can keep that for yourself, or a $50 gift card with an extra $10 for yourself. So think of Dad when it's Father's Day. And don't forget, we've always got the Travel Guy special going on for $29.95. And you're going to ask me this phone number, aren't you?
No. Hello, Sarah?
Yeah?
Yeah, Sarah. Guess what? Your dad wants to go to Rudy's Hideaway for Father's Day. Yeah. Make a reservation for him. Yeah. Yes. Mention the Travel Guys, and yeah, you can cash in on the special.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wanted to make sure that.
Go ahead.
Just wanted to make sure your daughter knew where you needed to go for Father's Day. There.
All right. Know. Good. Thank you, Mark. In 916-351-0606, 916-351-0606. All right. My friends, let's see. The question is, would you sign a non-disclosure agreement if it was put in front of you from a company that says, well, we'll give you a refund, but we'll give you X amount, but you can't talk about it? Never really thought much about whether radio was in color or not.
Hey, you know what? We forgot something last week.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
This is, well, yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, this wasn't something. This is not your fault. This is my fault. I had it sitting right in front of me the whole program and never mentioned it. You know, the 80th anniversary of D-Day.
Oh, yeah.
Last week. And they had a few still surviving soldiers. And you think about it, if that's the 80th anniversary and you were 18 years old, you got to be 98. I mean, you know, if you cheated the Army and you got in early, you'd be 96 maybe. But, I mean, and if you were, I mean, so none of these folks are very young people anymore. But anyways, people who went and fought and in many cases gave their lives so that we can have the things that we have in our country today. I have a great amount of admiration for people who have been in the military in their life or in the military now. It's not something that I chose to do, but I am very grateful for those people and the commitment that they make to our safety and security on a daily basis. So,
amen to that. And my hats off to the media who bothered to really bring that all forward over the last several days with coverage there in Normandy. Showing people there on the beach, showing these almost 100-year-old men. And several of them had things to say. And I was amazed that they were more fluid than I am with what they had to say.
And yeah, it changed a lot of lives. It ended a lot of lives, but changed a lot of lives. And so, and we have gotten, as we get further, I've been in the travel business now for almost 45 years, and I see this. In fact, I will tell you that today is Sports Leisure Vacations. As people listen to this, is our 45th birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, but I've seen a lot of things change over the course of all of those years, and you know, that's sort of one thing that has changed just a little bit, is as people have passed who were part of that generation, then there is less tie to it, and it becomes even more important when the zero dates come up, and we honor these folks, that we just stop and take a second and just realize that, you know, how tumultuous that time was, and how close we came to not having the things that we have. Anyway, that's enough of that, but thank you. To all of those of you who are currently in the military serving your country, thank you.
Okay, you filed a complaint with a travel company, and after some back and forth, they agreed to a settlement, but only if you'll sign a non-disclosure agreement. What is it, and should you sign it? Mark?
A non-disclosure agreement means basically you won't tell anybody what we agreed to. So what that indicates is that the company has decided to maybe break its own rules, or that you were enough a pain in the rear end, or whatever, you sent a lawyer or whatever you did, they've decided that you should be the winner. Maybe they just decided to do the right thing. But they don't want you going out and telling everybody else about it, because if you do, then all of those people are going to be smart enough to ask for the same thing when it comes their turn to stand in the line that you've been standing in. So, a couple of approaches on non-disclosure agreements. Our buddy Chris Elliott says, because somebody that he helped resolve their case, and so now it's resolved, and they're like, no, you can't tell anybody, including Chris Elliott, how we resolve this. You have to sign this agreement, otherwise we're not going to give you what we said we would. And the person says to Mr. Elliott, well, what do I do? They said, you can sign a non-disclosure agreement, but please let us know what the terms of the settlement are before you sign it. So until you've signed that agreement, there's nothing that keeps you from telling somebody else about it. Another approach that I would take to it is, I would just, and of course it depends on what's on the line here and how much money and how important it is to you. My approach in a couple of cases has been, okay, fine. I'm not signing a non-disclosure agreement. And you have 24 hours from right now to do what you said that you would do. And if you don't, then I'm going to start complaining to everybody. You have no idea. I'm going to let it out all over the place. So I would do the opposite. I would call their bluff, and I've done it twice, and it's worked both times. It's not to say it will work for you, but there's no reason. The other thing that you could do is say, that's fine. You have 24 hours to pay me. Otherwise, the next contact you get will be from my attorney. Where should he contact you at? Is this email appropriate? And so then they're like, oh, well, then now that person's got to do some quick thinking. You know, is this issue big enough to get a lawyer involved and have to explain to his boss why he didn't get this resolved? Or are they willing to just do the right thing, at least as far as you're concerned in the beginning? So these non-disclosure agreements are kind of catchy. If you can get what you want and you don't feel a great need to tell anybody about it, then sure, sign it. It's a way of getting where you need to get what you want to get to. That's what you tried to do when you filed your complaint in the first place. But if you feel like that they're trying to weasel on you a little bit, why then don't give in to them. Just tell them, you know, that's fine if that's the approach you want to take. I'm going to tell everybody what you just offered me. And if you don't give it to me in 24 hours, I'm going to hire a lawyer. See if that works for you.
Very good. All right. I think that's a good sage advice.
And I loved Chris's line of, sure, sign the non-disclosure agreement, but tell me what's in it first, because I fight these battles all the time, and I'd like to know
right.
what it is that they offer to give you.
Yeah, and then he can advise whether it's a good thing to sign or not. And it's time to want to get away with our road reporter, Steve LaRosa. Steve, welcome back to the Travel Guys. It's been way too long.
Hey, Tom. Hi, Mark. Yeah, it's great to be back. And I did hit the road, and I this time went to Monterey, California.
All right. Well, you know, some of the nicest places to go and fun things to do sometimes are right there in our own backyard. And certainly California has gotten lots and lots of it. So where did you begin your journey?
Well, I want to tell you about a couple of well-known sites, and then I'm going to tell you about a couple of lesser-known sites, if that's okay. And I'd like to start with what everybody does when they go to Monterey and go see Cannery Row. Now, of course, they've got the great hotels, the great restaurants, and endless boutiques. You know that. You've been there. But what I want to point out to you also is a little-known area that people, I've watched them, they walk right past this mm-hmm. thing every day. Tom, and what it is just a tiny little weather-beaten wooden building with a small little staircase out front. Now, when you're walking down Cannery Row, the ocean's to your right, ahead of you, let's say you're about 100 yards out from walking straight into the Monterey Bay Aquarium
right.
at the end of the mm-hmm. street. Look to your right, there's this little wooden building. This is the site of Pacific Biological Laboratories. Why does that make sense?
Yeah, well
it doesn't.
Yeah, what is in this little building that we're just secretly finding there? You know, I've been to Monterey. I've been along Cannery Row. I've never spotted this place. So what's there?
So it's literary greatness, Tom. It's Doc's lab, and it's the site of John Steinbeck's friend, Doc Ed Ricketts, and it's the site of his marine species biology lab. And it was prominently featured in Steinbeck's novel, Cannery Row. And if you do spot it, look to your right, there's a little alleyway, and you go down there and you get to see around the back, and there's all his specimen tanks. And you can actually take a tour of the place now. It's open to the public now, and I've seen it online. It's a pretty cool tour. And, of course, it'll be found on our website, which is
TravelGuysRadio.com. Well, all right. Well, let's move on. What else did you run into on your excursion over to the Central Coast?
Our next stop was the incredible 17-mile drive in Carmel, which is touted as one of the most beautiful scenic drives in the entire United States.
You know, I have to agree, Steve. It is absolutely gorgeous. There's so much to see, such natural beauty on one side, and then some multi-million dollar homes along the other side. It is gorgeous. I think people, if you haven't gone, it's like Yosemite. You know, it's just one of those things that you got to see.
Yeah, and I know Mark's been there many times. When would you recommend going there, Mark?
Again, as we've alluded to a couple times here, of course, weekends in popular places like Monterey are going to be just overwhelmed with people. If you have to go on a weekend, that's fine. Try to arrange as many things to do as early in the day as possible. If you're going on a weekday during the summertime, you have a little more leverage. But once again, as the day goes on, activities and things like that will get more crowded. So if you're looking to go to a restaurant on Cannery Row for lunch or dinner, you're talking 11:30 or 5:30 as opposed to in the height of the hour. Just some little things that you can do to stay out of the rush and still make Monterey, because once the traffic hits down there and it's bumper to bumper on the 17-mile drive, it's not nearly as much fun as it is with the morning fog rolling around and you being able to go at whatever speed that you desire.
And if I can add, one thing you might want to do is bring binoculars. For instance, when you go to Bird Rock, it looks like it's covered in vegetation. But when you look through your binoculars, you'll see what I call bird stock. It's surprising that there's sea lions that were able to crawl to the top of this immense rock. So that's one tip. But my favorite stop, you guys, was Crocker Grove, where you'll find the largest and oldest Monterey cypress trees in the world. It's something like another worldly landscape. These things are about 30, 40 feet tall at this umbrella canopy of these cypress trees. And by the way, the lone cypress, stop there. It's looking a bit frail. It took a pretty solid hit during a storm in 2019, but it's actually been deemed healthy, and they say it's part of the natural evolution that happens with weather.
Right. You know, I would imagine there's probably been a lot of films, a lot of photography, a lot of films that were shot in that area as a result of such unbelievable natural beauty.
Why don't you ask me what it cost?
Oh, yeah. Well, what does it cost to take the 17-mile ride?
Well, it costs $12 a car to enjoy the drive. So I recommend pack your car with five friends. You're in for $2.
$2.
And by the way, there's picnic tables all over the drive, so pack a lunch and enjoy the scenery.
Now, you're right down there near the Pebble Beach area, are you not?
I am. Pebble Beach Golf Course is on the 17-mile drive.
Have you ever played?
No.
Never done Pebble Beach?
I had a $500 gift certificate. I gave it to some guy who does a radio show about golf.
Oh, yeah. I think I know. A similar name, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. What else we got?
Well, I guess the last thing is, this is for the family.
Okay.
It's called the Dennis the Menace Playground. Cartoonist Hank Ketchum donated this to the city of Monterey, and it's just a great thing for kids. They get the monkey bars, they put climbing rocks, but my best tip for you is stay off the suspension bridge when there's a herd of rugrats coming your direction. I do want to mention this. On the way out of Monterey, on the way to San Jose, whoa, little Dionne Warwick there, we stopped in Capitola, and we had a nice lunch on the deck of the sandbar with a great view of the famous multicolored painted Venetian bungalows across the water. But we had to go to Polar Bear ice cream, 56 flavors, and I would have to say some of the best ice cream I've ever tasted, with names like Salty Bear and Dirty Paws.
Steve, join us next week. I know you have more to talk about on your most recent visit over to the coastal area. Maybe a little more inland, we're going to visit the San Jose area. Even though a lot of us say, what's in San Jose, you're going to say,
I found a lot of really cool things.
Getting away with Steve LaRosa here with the Travel Guys next week, off again on another adventure with Steve. So be sure to join us then. Mark? As you might expect, it's a Saturday morning between 11 and 12, and it must be the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And as promised, it's time to dip into the Travel Guys mailbag. First of all, so you'll know, if you go to TravelGuysRadio.com, right there on the homepage is a little spot where you can leave a question for the Travel Guys. And we will make an attempt in from time to time to answer your question on the radio. And if not, Mark, in all of his spare time, will we'll answer the question for you. Have you been getting a lot more questions than usual here, Mark, over the years?
We used to get a lot more general questions. Now we get a lot more specific questions. So some of them really truly are better answered in a one-on-one format. You know, just taking, if I know the answer, taking a moment and penning an answer to the person in email or giving them a link maybe and telling them, here's where you can find the information, because in many cases it's a person-specific, you know.
I've got
a dog and a child and a suitcase and, you know, and here's what I'm doing and how can I do it and all of that kind of jazz. So, I am happy to answer questions where I can answer all of them. But if you send a question to us at TravelGuysRadio.com, why, I'll do my best to get you an answer or find somebody who can give you an answer.
All right. And with that being said, let's dive into the mailbag for today. And as I looked over the questions ahead of time, and I can see that some of these came from people who actually listen to this silly radio show. So good for you. Thank you for doing so. All right. This listener writes that he read an article online about hidden city tickets, which he also has probably heard us talk about, and how that some people are saving a lot of money using them. So, Mark, once again, explain to folks what is a hidden city and how this can be a money saver.
Well, the best example that I can think of hidden city is Chicago and Milwaukee. If you're going to Milwaukee from Sacramento, you're likely going to fly to Chicago on one of a couple of airlines, and then you're going to take a little 30-minute hop up the road to Milwaukee. The Chicago fare round trip might be $600. The fare to Milwaukee round trip might be $400. So you're saying, well, wait a minute. Isn't Chicago before Milwaukee?
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't Milwaukee be more? Logically, yes. But that's not the way that airline pricing always works. Pricing into Milwaukee may be more competitive for a variety of reasons. So they're willing to sell you a ticket to go on to Milwaukee for $400. And so this hidden city ticketing, by the way, will only work on one-way things. You can't, if you are a person who has a lot of miles or points or something like that, I strongly don't recommend this, because if you get caught, they will likely close your account and take them away. The reason the airline, well, the theory behind this is they don't want you to buy the cheapest ticket. They want you to buy the ticket to the city that you're flying to. So you're flying to Chicago, but you buy a one-way ticket to Milwaukee, and you get off in Chicago. You didn't check a bag, and you walk away from the airport. So your ticket cost you $400 instead of $600. Let's play the one-way game. It cost you $200 instead of perhaps $300 for a ticket to Milwaukee. Coming back, you can't do the same thing, because you'd have to be in Milwaukee to accomplish that. So coming back, you just buy a one-way ticket from Chicago to Sacramento, and there you are. You're stuck with that higher fare. San Francisco works into this sometimes. A ticket from Sacramento to San Diego may be cheaper if you go through a side city. You go through Los Angeles, for example. Or you may buy a ticket to San Diego is cheaper than flying to Los Angeles, get off the plane in Los Angeles, and walk away. The airline doesn't want you to do this, and technically it's a violation of the contract. You made a contract with the airline to fly to these places on these planes, and if you don't do it, then the airline says you broke your agreement. And if you have frequent flyer miles or anything like that and they wanted to be punitive, they can. It's rare that that happens, but it could happen.
Now, with that being said, you'd have to do this with carry-on only, because,
yes,
you know, otherwise your luggage is off to Milwaukee. There you're mm-hmm. in Chicago without any luggage. So
that, exactly. Hidden city tickets. It's also called skip lagging. If you fly a lot and you use cities where this is part of the fare structure, then it could be worth a lot of money to you. My personal feeling is that, you know, if it's a one-off deal and you're only doing it one time and you don't care about airline miles and stuff like that, then fine, save yourself a little bit of money. But otherwise, there are a lot of ways that this can go bad on you. A flight gets canceled or something like that, and suddenly you've got a huge problem. The airline is trying to figure out how to get you to Milwaukee because your Chicago flight got canceled. So they're routing you God knows where to get you to Milwaukee. You didn't want to go to Milwaukee. You wanted to go to Chicago. So hidden city ticketing is something only for the very top-level airline airfare trickery experts, because it's not something that you want to get into if you're an amateur.
If you're just joining us, it's the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom. We're doing the mailbag today. Listener of the Travel Guys writes, you were right about parking at the airport. I arrived on Friday morning about 11 a.m., and the only space left were a few spots in the furthest economy lot. So what happens if they run out of parking altogether, Mark?
Apparently, this has happened a couple times, and I sent a note to our airport friends today. So hopefully we'll have an answer next week. I'm curious about the answer to that question. What happens if they run out of parking? And they're going to run out of parking this summer. I'm guessing more than once, you know, that new parking garage, it's going to be May of 2026 before it gets built. So unless they put out some more surface economy lots in the meantime, which would be my guess. But anyway, I don't know what happens when they run out of parking. I will tell you, though, if you're going to the airport after 9 or 10 in the morning, and it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, parking is going to be a challenge, so plan extra time for that. And you might just – parking is expensive at the airport. I know Ubers and Lyfts and taxis and, you know, phone a friend may not be the easiest way to go, but – it's expensive. And getting out of the airport the other night, good Lord, there was a 10 to 15 minute backup. They were backed up halfway to the parking checkout just with people trying to get out of the airport and get onto that little two-lane connector there on I-5. So if you can get somebody else to schlep you to the airport, that's the thing to do for the next couple of years.
A little off the subject, but on it at the same time. I was on my way back out in that area along 99. Saw the sign at Elkhorn Boulevard that says Sacramento International Airport this way. So there is another entry now into mm-hmm. the airport off of 99 on Elkhorn. I'm going to have to go out and give it a try, but I understand it will take you end up somewhere near the gas station and the cell phone lot. Uh-huh. So that could be an option both coming and going.
What a good homework assignment for you for the week.
I know.
Drive out to the airport and, you know, maybe take Mrs. Romano with you, you know, make it an outing.
Is charging for parking at a suburban hotel a new thing? Listener writes, I just got hit for $18 a night in San Jose last week, and I sort of feel ripped off. Thanks for listening, they say.
You know, there's a real chance that the listener stayed at the DoubleTree Hotel in San Jose, because I just got hit for $18 for parking there a couple of months ago. $18 a night. It's pretty close to the airport. Yes, a lot of suburban hotels now are charging for parking. And I agree with our listener that I think it's a ripoff. It's just an extra revenue source for the hotel. Here's what you do. Be nice. Don't be an idiot. Be nice. If anybody at the front desk asks you, you know, did you have a nice stay? You're getting ready to leave, something like that. I would nicely make it clear that I didn't appreciate the parking charge. This is a suburban hotel. There are lots of suburban hotels that don't charge for parking, and I will probably select one of them next time. I would also, when I got the evaluation thing, the little thing from the hotel on the email that says, hey, how did we do? I would skip down to the comments section and just say, you know, you charge me $18 a night to park. I think that's a ripoff, and I'm not going to stay with you again if I find that you still have the parking fee. You don't have to make a national case out of it, but I would make it very clear to them that that parking fee is a part of your buying decision, and that if they're going to charge you $18 to park in addition to whatever the room rate was, that you may make a different choice next time. You don't have to rant and rave and set fire in the lobby. But you do need to tell them that, and if you use the phrase, that's part of my buying decision, that's part of the cost of staying here, so next time I'll consider that. You've made your point.
Very good. All right. Once again, it's Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys. We're doing the Travel Guys mailbag. If you have a question for us, go to travelguysradio.com. You can leave it right there on the homepage, and we'll answer it for you. All right. Last question for today. What's the trick to getting a low number for boarding on Southwest? Man, this is my question, mm-hmm. you know, because and this person says, like me, always checking in exactly 24 hours in advance. I even use two devices. I use my cell phone and my computer in case one's quicker than the other. And I hate mm-hmm. the fact that when I push it at just the right time, it says sorry, you've checked in too soon.
And I'm going,
no, I didn't. I was right on the money. And then I got to go back and do it again, and then now I'm late. But this person indicated what I see to be the case. I rarely or never get an A position. You got a hack, Mark, that you can offer?
No. Pay up. Here's the problem. If you're in the general public in Southwest, you don't know this, but there are a lot of people ahead of you.
Yeah.
The first 15 positions are positions that Southwest uses to sell, to upgrade people, and they've just announced that they're going to increase the cost of that. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get on early, apparently people do, because they wouldn't be increasing the price if nobody was buying it. So that's one way to do it. Another way is to fly Southwest frequently or spend a tremendous amount of money on your Southwest credit card. Those will get you flight credits, which will ultimately get you to where I am, which is A-list or signature A-list or something, because I've been doing a lot of business with Southwest a long time. I get A-16 or 17 or 18 almost every time I get on the plane. So that's what happens. The first 15 are sold. The next ones are given to their most frequent flyers. Then you've got people who didn't buy those first 15, but just bought a move up. And of course, all the people with families and the handicapped folks. So if you have B1, you're not going to be the 61st person on the plane. You might be the 91st person on the plane. So really, there is no hack with Southwest. Either fly a lot and be a frequent flyer, or pay up for the privilege.
Or start your own travel business where you buy airline tickets for hundreds of people a year, and you have some pretty good status over there.
Then the airlines love you even though they don't know who you are. Yes, exactly. All right, that about wraps it up here for the Travel Guys for this week. Thank you all for joining us. Hope you learned something that will make you a little bit smarter traveler the next time you're out on the road, and we will see you next Saturday at 11 o'clock. In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching.
Stay well, my friends. See you next time.